Actually, this is an operations job, so it's not only just the requirements of Klinger Cohen, but I also have an operational requirement. I run one of the national critical systems within the U.S. called the Telecommunications Gateway, and what it is, if you look at it, it's kind of like the post office for weather data. So observations, information comes into this gateway, and then that information is then parsed out to various addresses or clients, if you will, to include the private sector, and they pull information directly off my servers for AccuWeather, Weather Channel, Weather Bug, so on and so forth. So we have a huge public-private kind of responsibility as well. As a CIO, I also run the NOAA's first wide area network, which is called NOAANet, where we're looking at actually centralizing and consolidating all of the network capabilities, not just within Weather Service, but across NOAA. Also from my seat as the CIO, we look at it from a standpoint of emerging technology. A lot of the things that are going on right now with social networking and things like Flickr and Twitter, all those things are now looming large within our sector, primarily because they're huge collaboration opportunities that people want to leverage and get out to the communities at large. So we interface directly with media, with the emergency managers, and then also, you know, the aviation community, and those are direct communication trails. And so we're using some of those things through instant messaging, and now we want to potentially leverage things like Facebook to kind of create also that kind of presence.
You mentioned the NOAA Wide Area Network. Isn't there a big contract that just the RFP just came out or recently about that?
There is. It's called NOAA Link, and one of the things that we're doing is looking across the board to how to centralize the way in which NOAA buys IT services and products. And so myself and the NOAA CIO Council, it's been kind of our brainchild. And so we really have been working this for about 2 years. The RFP, as you said, just came out and closed. And so we'll wait and see how all that plays out. But it's a very good opportunity for NOAA to take a step forward from a standpoint of its information technology and information management capabilities.
I imagine that's one of your big priorities, which we're going to get to in a little bit. But before we do that, I wanted to ask about something else that you mentioned about your job as CIO. You both work operational, but also strategically with a vision. How would you break that down? Would you say that you're 60-40, 50-50?
I would almost say everybody in the Weather Service, it's almost probably more so, I'd say 70-30, 60-40, being heavily weighted on the operations side. This is the one good thing about this job is you can see when you do a good job, and you can also see when you do a bad job, because you get instant feedback. So it's one of those jobs that you kind of dream of, you know, and it has its good points and its bad points, but I see the mission fulfilled by the Weather Service on a daily basis. And as a government employee and as a government leader, that's one of the great things that attracted me to this position.
I'm sure that is very nice, the fact that you can say, well, because we did this, the fires in California, there was a difference made.
And lives are saved. I mean, so we can tell when lives are saved. We can tell, you know, we get information on how much lead time we actually provided a community when a tornado was imminent or going to hit that community. So you really see time in, day out, how the value of the products that the Weather Service puts out.
Now, you mentioned that you guys also have people that fly into natural disaster sites to help them out forecasting weather. Does that mean you support both set of field offices and headquarters, or is it mostly headquarters with people flying out so they need to be mobile? How is that broken down?
If you look at the Weather Service, it's a distributed organizational model. We basically have six large regions that actually represent the Weather Service, and then we have what we call weather forecast offices, which we have approximately 122 of those. Then we have 13 river forecast centers, and then which actually do the hydrologic prediction and forecasting. And then lastly, we have Central Weather Service units, which actually do the aviation piece. And then we actually have another larger entity called the National Centers for Environmental Prediction, and they do all the environmental modeling for us. They have several centers, and one of which is the National Hurricane Center. We have a storm projection center, so on and so forth. And then those centers actually provide real-time prediction information into the whole system that actually become part of then the forecast.
So you as CIO are supporting all that, make sure they have the technology they need, or they at least have the infrastructure to do their job they need.
Yeah, and it's infrastructure is good, because really we rely on a number of the actual programs to then do some of the specialized mission applications, but we're providing a lot of the infrastructure support.
How does because it's the hurricane season, how does that affect you as CIO? Does it change your job? Does it make it more complex? Does it make you work 18 hours a day instead of 15 hours a day?
It definitely is our busiest time of the year. I mean, this is a time when we're really making sure that the products and services that we provide are available to the community emergency managers and decision makers. So that means ensuring that your servers are appropriately scaled. That means we use CDN, content delivery networks, to actually provide some of our services, making sure that those agreements are in place to handle surge. Because what we see a lot of time during this period is people actually going to the website and banging against it and trying to get the information in a timely way so that they can either warn their families individually or make business decisions or even warn communities. So it's extremely important to ensure that the infrastructure is sound during this time. The other piece is really now supporting also the forecasters themselves. So we need to make sure that the infrastructure that's there supporting those kinds of systems are there and available for them so that they can actually get the information out. So we do a lot of work with ensuring that our backups are in place, that kind of thing. Our strategies are in place for ensuring that if there is some kind of failure, that then there is a fallback plan to address that, so on and so forth. So we really are making sure that the capabilities that we provide day in, day out, especially during this time, are available.